MODO.US.
Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Modo, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Modo Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There's something unsettling about childhood fear. It clings to us, not because it's foolish, but because it often begins with things we can't explain. A shadow at the edge of the bed, a whisper when no one's around, a figure outside the window that disappears the moment you blink. But what if it wasn't just you? What if a friend, someone in another house entirely, started seeing the same things? Tonight, we explore a story that reads like a list passed between frightened hands. A story of two girls bonded by something far stranger than friendship. A series of hauntings that crossed walls, miles, and logic. Together, they began writing down what they'd seen. But when the lists were finished, the question wasn't, "Are we haunted?" It was, "How could we both know things we never said out loud?" Ghosts in the hallway. A red-faced man. A woman in a red dress who travels. A girl with black hair who doesn't just haunt their homes, but follows them to school. And then, the white thing? Whatever it is. The only one that seems to keep the others at bay. Are they losing their grip on reality, or is something pulling them deeper? Let's get to the letter. They write, "I don't really know where to start except to say that everything we've written, it's real. I'm not making this up, neither is Grace. We started that list as a joke, remember? Like it was just a way to track what we were both imagining. But we weren't imagining any of it. I used to think ghosts stayed in one place, that they were tied to a house or a grave or some tragic event. But these things move. They follow. And I think they talk to each other, even when we don't. Let me go back to when it really started. It was last spring. Grace said she saw a girl in her room, a girl with long, straight black hair who didn't speak, didn't blink, just stood there at the end of her bed. Some nights she was closer, some nights she wasn't there at all. We joked about it at first. I said maybe it was her brain playing tricks, but then I saw her too, outside Grace's classroom window. Same face, same black hair. Watching us through the glass like she was waiting to be let in. A few weeks later, she showed up at my place. She didn't knock. She didn't ask. She was just there outside the living room window looking in while my dad slept on the couch. Her hand was on the glass. After that, Grace started seeing other things. The red-faced man was one of them. She saw him in her bathroom mirror, just there, red and angry, like something burned his skin off. I caught a glimpse of him once, too, in the hallway at the top of her stairs. He didn't move, but you could feel it, Tony, like he wanted to. And then the day she fell down the stairs, she said it felt like someone shoved her. We didn't talk about that for a while. It was too much. There was another one, more subtle. A black shadow, no features, no face, just this form. It started showing up after I told Grace about something that happened when we were little. Something with Molly, our old dog. After that, the shadow followed Grace to school. Stood in corners, near lockers. She saw it at her desk once, just behind the glass of the cabinet. Then it started showing up at my house, always near the trees. Sometimes in my room. One night, Boo, my kitten, growled at it. I didn't even know cats could growl like that. But Boo did, loud, and then ran. Grace has this thing with her great Nan, who's passed. She says she sees her now and then. At first, she thought her great Nan only came around when something bad was about to happen, like a warning. But lately, the visits have gotten random. She's seen her by the kitchen table outside her house, even once across the street, like she's trying to keep up, or maybe she's watching someone else entirely. Then there's the woman in the red dress. The first time Grace saw her was in my bathroom. It was late, and she said she didn't even go in. Just opened the door, saw the woman standing in the corner, and slammed it shut. After that, Grace couldn't escape her. She saw her again in her own room, in the reflection of the TV, then at school. I started seeing her too, not often, but enough. She moves like she doesn't need to. You know what I mean? Like she's gliding or floating, but her feet never leave the ground. She doesn't do anything outright. But when she's around, the air goes cold, not just chilly. I'm talking breath-freezing cold, like you walked into a meat locker. That's how we knew she was in the room once, even before we saw her. Grace was doing my nails, and the polish froze. The whole room felt wrong. And through all of this, there's something else. Something we don't understand. Grace calls it the white thing. I've never seen it. Only she has. But she says when it shows up, nothing else does. No red-faced man. No girl with black hair. No shadow. It doesn't speak. Doesn't blink. Doesn't move. It just is. And every time it comes, she says she feels this warmth, this weird calm. Like she's safe. I've never been able to see it. That's the one that scares me the most. Because whatever it is, it's watching us, too. And I don't know what it wants from her or why it hides from me. It's like we're being divided. One side sees one thing. The other sees another. And somewhere in between, they're talking to each other. The ghosts, I mean. We didn't think it would go this far. But we kept seeing more. So we wrote it down. And that's when things got even weirder. After we finished writing that first list, things changed. Like we'd invited something by organizing it all, by acknowledging every detail. I told Grace that it felt like the house was listening while we read the list out loud. Then came Nicole. I used to think she stayed in my room. The girl in the beige dress, she wasn't hostile, but she wasn't calm either. She'd stand in the doorway near the bathroom at night just watching. I'd pull the covers over my face until morning. But one night, Grace saw her in her own room. I hadn't told her Nicole's name yet or what she wore, but Grace described her perfectly. That's when we knew they were crossing over. Our ghosts weren't staying in our houses anymore. They were following us home from school, from each other's places, even from the shops. One afternoon, when we were walking back from getting chips, we saw her, the other woman. She wasn't on the list, a woman in gray. Across the road from Grace's house, just standing there in what looked like an old wedding dress, faded, torn, the veil ragged like cobwebs. She didn't look at us, just through us. I felt like if I looked too long, I'd start crying and not know why. We walked fast. She didn't follow. Not until we reached the front gate, that's where she stopped. She stood there like she'd hit an invisible wall. She didn't try to enter, just stayed outside the fence, staring. Grace swears she saw her mouth move, but no sound came out. I turned to look again, and she was gone. Just vanished. A few days later, we were playing outside. Boo, my kitten, was near the tree line. That's when it happened again. Boo hissed, back arched, and darted off like something chased her. Grace grabbed Smudge, my other cat, and froze. We both saw it, this shape by the trees. A black shadow with red eyes. It wasn't moving, just watching. And then it started to fade like smoke curling in reverse. I don't know how to describe the fear except to say it felt old, like something we weren't supposed to see. Since then, I've started hearing things, not voices, conversations, calm, low, just outside my bedroom, by the bathroom door. They always start around midnight. The room will go quiet, like the air's holding its breath, then the whispering begins. It's never angry, just steady. Like a man and a woman talking in another room about me. Sometimes I try to listen, but the closer I lean, the harder it gets to understand. Like they want me to hear, but not enough to let me make sense of it. One night I covered my head with the blankets and breathed heavy on purpose, just to block it out. I felt like if I understood a single word, everything would change. I'd know something I wasn't supposed to. I told Grace, and she said she hears them too, but only when she's not at my house. That's when we wrote the final list. We didn't compare it until both were done. We just wrote down what we saw and where. Then we switched papers, and two names matched exactly. Two names we had never spoken aloud. We looked at each other and just froze. No jokes, no screams, just silence. Because if we didn't say them to each other, then how do we both know? I don't know what's going on. I don't know why it's us, but I do know this. They're still here. Not every night, but often enough. And they're waiting for something. Maybe to be acknowledged. Maybe for one of us to stop believing. Or maybe for the other one to go. Thanks for reading this and keep doing what you're doing. Lena. There's something deeply unnerving about the idea of a haunting that travels. We expect ghosts to linger in one spot, a house, a room, a grave. But this story suggests something far more disturbing. That spirits can cross thresholds, that they know each other, that they move with intent. Lena and Grace's experience raises more questions than answers. Is this a case of shared delusion? Mass suggestion between two deeply connected friends? That's one possibility. The human mind is powerful, especially when it's young and vulnerable. Studies in mirror touch synesthesia, trauma bonding, and shared hallucinations show us how fear can ripple between people, especially when reinforced night after night. But here's where the theory cracks. How do you explain independent details? Ghosts given names before they were ever spoken aloud, identical descriptions written separately, the girl with black hair, the red-faced man, the woman in the red dress who appears in both homes. They appear to drift across locations like whispers on the wind, and yet they leave a physical impression. Slamming doors, shoved bodies, scratched floors, frozen air. And then there's the white thing, seen by only one of them. Not a ghost, not a shadow, something else entirely. Maybe a protector, maybe a lure, we don't know. But what we can say is this. Every haunting has its rules. Some we learn through folklore, others through fear. But the ones that matter, the ones that truly terrify us, are the ones that don't follow any rules at all. Maybe the reason these entities haven't left is because no one has ever asked why they came until now. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us. And remember, sometimes the most frightening place is the one you both call home.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time to play big on Moto Social Casino, America's hottest free-to-play social casino experience. Moto.us has live casino games. It's time! Play big, win bigger on Moto.us today.
Moto is a social casino, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time!
Moto.us.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.